Russ Baker is Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University. He has so many honors, I can't read them all, but I want to ask you this, Russ. Chuck Schumer, I know him quite well. I've had him on the radio many times in this very program. And I wonder, is he between a rock and a hard place?
Yeah, he's in a very difficult situation. He's outnumbered, not by a lot. 52-48 is not an insuperable barrier, but given the degree of political polarization in the Senate, there are not many defections. There are not many people who could go either way. You know, you've got people like Susan Collins, who will occasionally vote with the Democrats. And recently, for example, on the Betsy DeVos nomination, Lisa Murkowski. So he's in a tough situation, but he's in a very much better situation than Nancy Pelosi is in the House of Representatives, because the filibuster is still available for Schumer to use, not on nominations below the Supreme Court, but on ordinary legislation. So the minority party in the Senate is empowered to an extent that the minority party in the House of Representatives is not. And I suspect that Schumer will use that ability to slow down the progress of legislation or nominations as effectively as his predecessor Harry Reid did.
And let's contrast him with Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, many people do not admire. In fact, the Republicans have run against her for years, came out with a very strong statement about Jeff Sessions resigning from the attorney generalship because he had been basically talking to the Russians. I was surprised because it was not really Pelosi-like. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, what's happened, of course, is she's been joined in this kind of expression by some Republicans who feel that that Senator Sessions, in his confirmation hearing, which was done under oath in response to a question from Senator Al Franken, denied that there had been any contact with the Russians. Now it appears that there's evidence that there were contacts, and Senator Sessions has found himself caught in a falsehood, which, of course, becomes all the more serious when that falsehood is uttered under oath.
Do you think there's a chance that we could see a special prosecutor here? And what is the role of the newspapers here? Because it seems to me, as each of these things gets leaked out about improper relationships with the Russians, which could lead up to the president, there are those of us who think, you know, this may be another Watergate in the making.
Last week, I wouldn't have thought so. But the Sessions thing has really added a very new and very grave dimension to this whole question of the collusion between Trump operatives and really Russian spies. We have a very conventional view of diplomats. The Russians have a very different view of diplomats, and many of their diplomatic missions are really basically cover operations for spying. We're dealing with people who don't wish us well. And I think that certainly members of Congress are aware of that, and I think felt distinctly uncomfortable with what seemed to be an entirely too cozy relationship between President Trump and people around him and Vladimir Putin.
Do you think that there was? I mean, my presumption is that you had Trump talking about how wonderful Putin was during the campaign. You had him basically saying, I hope that they'll publish all the leaks they have that basically hurt the Democrats. And that was pretty interesting. And now you get Sessions and you get several other people. You got an early campaign manager who had to quit because of his relationships with the Russians. Seems to me, Ross Baker, if this president is to be undone, it's going to be on the Russian front.
I suspect it will. I think it will, because I think it's the least defensible problem that he's created for himself. He wasn't elected with a mandate to cozy up to the Russians. He may have been elected with a mandate to seal the border. He may have been elected on a mandate to deport as many people who are here illegally as possible. But the people did not choose Donald Trump to basically be an enabler of Vladimir Putin. You know, the head of a country that has shown aggressive tendencies towards its neighbors, has meddled in the elections of adjacent countries, and really their mortal sin in my estimation is trying to tamper with the elections of the senior democracy in the world, the United States of America. And this is something that I think is unforgivable.
Now, there are those people who think that that was all about just causing a certain amount of chaos. Now, if they have information about Trump, and Trump is forced over to the anti-Russian side, which it seems, based on his cabinet picks and his National Security Council, he may be, they could just let fly, because that certainly would help muddy the waters as much as possible.
Well, you know, yesterday the New York Times ran the story about in the waning days of the Obama administration, basically trying to safeguard some of the information that intelligence had picked up on the relationship between Trump and the Russians. They basically went on a kind of concealment to try to get these things in safe places where they couldn't be tampered with, and I imagine that some of this is pretty explosive, and that sets aside this whole question of this former British intelligence officer who basically composed this dossier on Trump that contained some rather explosive statements, some of which have been discredited and derided as just being sensationalistic. But certainly there is information out there that would need to be responded to in order to rebut for all times the accusation that he was entirely too cozy with the Russians.
He, Trump, called the press the enemy of the people. I used to study that in English class with Ibsen.
Right.
And I'm wondering, that's an extraordinary thing for him to have said, isn't it?
It's an incredibly radical and inflammatory thing. Every president has had his issues with the press. Abraham Lincoln had all kinds of problems with the press during the Civil War, and actually committed some acts that were really basically antithetical to the First Amendment. But after all, the United States was then in an existential struggle for survival. This is different. This is somebody who, with a very thin skin, a huge ego, and very vulnerable to having his buttons pushed, it basically just doesn't like what they're saying about him, and then declares them an enemy of the people, which in a way is kind of like accusing them of treason, which is a dangerous, dangerous utterance on the part of a president of the United States.
Well, it seems to me when you start calling your political enemies Little Marco and whatever else, and you start talking about, or Crazy Hillary, and you start up with the press in the United States, you're courting real danger. It seems to me, they'll never rest the press now until they have it right. On the other hand, I saw Warren Buffett the other day, Ross Baker, who said he thought that the only two newspapers that were assured of survival was the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. I thought that was extraordinary. So maybe we're going to see a country with virtually no press.
Well, I would very seriously challenge that. I mean, I think at the very least, Jeff Bezos has shown himself to be extremely generous in supporting the journalism of the Washington Post.
And to be fair, Buffett did say, and maybe the Washington, and maybe the Washington Post.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Good save there, Ross Baker.
And I would add one more.
I think that's right.
I would add one more. My favorite paper, USA Today, that people for years to come is going to find that welcoming USA Today logo in front of their hotel room door when they get up in the morning.
I was going to say, do you have a short attention span? But in any case, Ross Baker, you are a brilliant man and a great friend to come on and talk to us about these issues. I read all of your bona fides, but it would take too long. And so thank you for being here. We'll come back one more time for another day, and we'll talk some more.
It's always a pleasure, Alan.